everyone. Welcome to another episode of Lessons Learned Podcast, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. My name is Suzanne.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Lessons Learned, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. My name is Suzanne, and I am the head coach at Grace Financial Coaching, which stands for Guidance, Resources, Accountability, Communication, and Evaluation. I am so honored to welcome one of my fellow coaches here today, Renata Smith. Renata is the owner and founder of Thrive Financial Coaching. Renata's got a degree in accounting and a background in finance. And so it seems like she would make the perfect financial coach, but it was actually her personal experience with divorce, individual counseling, and support groups that led her passionately into the financial coaching field. So I am so excited to welcome Renata today. Renata, how are you?
Good. Thank you. I appreciate being here today, Suzanne.
Yeah. Tell us about Thrive Financial Coaching and your coaching practice in general.
Well, as you mentioned before, it stemmed from going through sort of a long-term high-conflict divorce, helping women in that same area with their finances, and realized that I love doing that. Ended up finding some training programs, went through them, wanted to do it as a ministry. And my therapist goes, no, you need to do this as a business. So that's where it was born. But that's really where my passion lies, is I mentor and work with a lot of women in that genre. And so just helping them work through all of the crazy turmoil. We know divorce is a emotional explosion, but it's also a financial explosion. And so a lot of my clients are working with them to help navigate all of those, that minefield, so to speak. So that's truly where my passion is.
Yeah, definitely. It's I am divorced myself, remarried. And so I understand my experience was not as, like you said, high conflict as some other people. Yeah. But it does definitely get messy for sure. So kudos to your therapist for telling you, no, this is going to be a business. Best therapist ever.
Yep.
Well, that's sure. Amazing. So when you first started getting into coaching, what experiences personally did you draw on when you were working with, say, a woman who was going through a divorce or had been through a divorce? What personal financial experience did you draw on there?
Well, I personally did all my finances for our family. So, you know, I have the accounting degree, you know, used to use Quicken, did all that sort of stuff. But the experiences that I sort of drew on were, when specifically working my early on with the clients and stuff, is just like we were talking a few minutes ago, there's a lot of mindset stuff. There's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of money script stuff that goes on with people that are coming out of relationships. You know, it could be, they never even touched the money. You know, maybe their spouse was the one who handled the money, that type of thing. So I was in a reverse situation but it also gave me perspective of knowing what needed to be done and being there as an encouragement for those clients. So that's where I sort of like drew on my experience and helped them. Coaching, some people just, there's basics. And then, so the basics of that knowledge and that foundation, but not only that, but then trying to get over or understand some of those thought processes that they bring with them from their parents, their relationships, you know, all of those other things. So it all sort of ties in, you know, that money is emotional type thing that, friend Christine Lucan has awesome books about all of that and the divorce and stuff. And it really is true. And so feeling like I'd been through all of that, I felt like I had empathy as well as the tools to help my clients move past and move into a safer financial space, so to speak.
Yeah. Where do you start? Speaking of tools, where do you start with someone who had no input in the finances in their marriage in the first place?
Yeah. Very just basic. You know, it's like, let's talk about what your day-to-day needs are. You know, what are your expenses are, you know, even just conversations around, like I'm working with someone right now, conversations around like, do you keep the house? Do you sell the house? You know, do you have any income? Like, to be honest, I was a stay-at-home mom for 24 years. I was in this while we were going through this. I had no income, which is why the therapist goes, you need some income. You need to start a business, right? So, but you know, like looking at all those pieces, you know, looking at the piece, like where's your income coming from? I've had also a ton of people come to me. They're at the end of their spousal support and they're like, I don't know what we're going to do, you know? And we're, you know, so how do we prepare for all that? How do we put all the tools in place that they're successful? So they're not, you know, sometimes we just want to bury our head in the sand. And so we're not burying our head in the sand. We are, you know, bringing all of the things open play, and it just empowers them when they see that they can take control of this and it's no longer in somebody else's hands. So that's,
I had a client who was trying to refer her girlfriend to me, and the girlfriend had the husband, they had been divorced, but the ex-husband had passed away, but she was still the beneficiary on the life insurance because the kids were so young. And she was running out of the life insurance money. I unfortunately never heard from her. And part of what I tend to think in those situations is that fear of the unknown is so overwhelming and can set us back years, months, days, weeks, decades in moving forward in a certain situation, having nothing to do with money, really. But we like to talk about sex, politics, and religion in this country more than we like to talk about money. But just, we're so afraid of what we're going to unearth, right?
You're exactly right. And if I could get my hands on, you know, in fact, the program that I was in was called Divorce Care, Christian support group. And I even went back and I taught a little section on finance and then helped, you know, do the group in the future. Because I'm just like, I just want to be able to like help these people from the beginning, you know, going through this. And because like you said, you know, coming out 5 years, you know, or later after this has already happened, you have a lot less choices than you did early on. Right. And helping my clients see the reality of the situation. You know, the divorce is, you know, it's like I said, it's an explosion, but it's also losses. You know, it's that grief of the loss of the marriage, the grief of the loss of maybe the house, the grief of the loss of, you know, just maybe your standard of living is dropping, you know, all of those type of things. And so if you can see the reality of, okay, this is where you're at right now. The reality is let's step into the reality and set things up appropriately for you to have success long term, or we can just keep our head buried in the sand. Right. And it's hard. It's the whole thing is hard, but it's definitely doable with guidance. It really is.
And the proverbial head in the sand, fear of the unknown. The sooner we face those things, one, you might find that they're not that scary.
Right.
You know, you might actually think you're worse off than you really are. You might actually be in a better position. But either way, the longer we wait to unearth that stuff, the worse we're going to, the worse it might be, but two, the worse we're going to make it seem in our head for sure. Yes. So that's amazing that you're helping those types of people. What other clients do you have? Do you coach couples?
I do. I sort of have all the spectrum. I have quite a few young adults, which I love young adults because it's like, you know, it's like you've got this fresh start, so to speak. But I also have a lot of middle-aged people that have just hit the point. They're like, they're starting to panic. You know, they get to the point in their 40s and their 50s. And I'm, you know, taking on a client right now who has massive amounts of student loan debt. More than anything I've ever, you know, seen before. You know, like over 600,000.
And it's
heartbreaking. So with them, they not only have, you know, lots of stuff to work on, but they have this thing looming over their head. So how do you work with the clients because in their current day to day, but also prepare them for, you know, what's so to speak coming down the road. So yeah, it's sort of like I do work with couples, I work with individuals, but my love and my, you know, my niche is basically, you know, women in transition, you know, divorce, separation, widowhood, and that type of thing to really help empower them to take control of their finances. And it's if you can, you know, and you know this, yeah, you know, I'm not, you know all this, you know, if you can help somebody get control of their finances, it's in every facet of your life. So if you get this part under control and taken care of and the stress off your shoulders from that, everything else gets so much easier to do.
Definitely. Definitely. And it makes everything else, you know, the, I think another thing that we grieve in divorce is the life that we thought we were going to have.
Exactly.
And so, yes, we may be losing physical things like money, the house, the person is leaving the building, the car, whatever it is, maybe a dog, God forbid. But I think grieving the life that you thought you were going to have, I think that's underestimated, actually.
I totally agree with you. Yeah, I remember working through that with my therapist. It was just, you know, the whole, all the different ways of grief. And that flows into, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. It flows into what kind of lifestyle do you want to create for yourself financially? And that creates, can be great if you set, you know, set the bar where reality is, or it can cause continual problems down the road if you set the bar.
And it can be it can be devastating eventually. So Renata, I created this show to help other people realize we all make financial mistakes, even those of us who grew up to be financial coaches. Yeah. So please tell us, what is the dumbest thing you've ever done with money?
Well, so probably 22 years ago, moved to the state of Arizona. Was getting ready to purchase our third home, and you know, let's just say we bit off more than we can chew. So it is sort of mind-boggling to me when I look back now that mortgage brokers will approve you for the homes that really have no. You know, you should not be having that kind of payment in your on a monthly basis. I mean, the mortgage broker approved us for a home that was over half of our take home pay.
My gosh.
And so we, in our mind, had some stock that we were going to sell. And, you know, we were thinking early retirement, sell the house, buy the house cash and blah, blah, blah. And the things didn't go quite as we planned. We sold the stock, but didn't take it out of the actual stock that it was in, and the stock market crashed. So when that happened, we lost all of that money. And then we had a massive tax bill. So we had to take a loan out on a 401k to cover the tax bill that money was supposed to pay for the house, or a good portion of the house, to reduce our house payment. So it was a mess. I can remember praying, because I was a baby Christian at that point, like, God, can you please help us figure out how to get out of this mess? I know we shouldn't be in this mess. So the house is way more than we needed, way too expensive for our budget. We, you know, it was, you know, flat out keeping up with the Joneses, you know, and I look back now, I'm like, what were we thinking? And it took us several years to get out of that hole. Just selling, trying to sell off things, because we had this massive mortgage payment and three kids, and I was not working. My husband at the time was sole breadwinner. So, definitely would have done things a little differently. Yeah. We had done things differently up to that point, but that house was a noose around our neck for 17 years. We tried to sell it again in 2008. Yeah.
So I was going to say, you said the early 2000s, so this was pre 2008. So that explains why the mortgage broker was giving you a bit more than you could, a bigger bite than you could chew. But things did change after 2008. So you guys tried to sell in 2008. So what happened with that?
Yeah, we in 2008, my husband got transferred to Oregon. So we put the house on the market, and we literally kept dropping it. We actually dropped the price in half by the time, and still it didn't sell. And so finally we was like, we're going to move back into our house. And we finally got a cash offer, but that was the same price that we paid for it when we bought the house. And then, and seriously, it's, you know, it's a God story, but it's also so many lessons learned. And so then finally, so we ended up moving back into the house. We were gone a year. We tried to sell a whole year from April of 2008 to April of 2009. And we moved back into the house. And then in 2017, when we sold the house, when I got divorced and we sold the house, we sold it for the exact same price we paid for it 17 years before.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And meanwhile, if you could have any concept of how much we paid on monthly basis for 17 years for that house.
Right. Right. And don't sit there and do the calculations on what the interest rate was and then what you actually put towards it. And oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, you'll just jump out the window of the house. Yeah, the taxes that you guys had to pay on the sale of the stock. I think a lot of people don't understand that. So specifically, if you could go back in time and redo this all over again, I'm sure there are a million things you would change, but what would you change about cashing out the stock?
So the way the company that my husband worked for, we got stock options. And back in 2000, if you remember, a lot of people do that, you know, the tech stocks were going offline, right? So the way it worked is you cash out, but they figure out how much you're going to cash out. They sell enough of the stock to pay taxes on it. So there was already some taxes paid, but it was because it was so much, there was so much more. So they pay the taxes on it and give you the rest in stock. Well, the problem was we were supposed to sell that stock and cash that out. And that didn't happen in a timely manner. So when the stock dropped, the value dropped so extreme that there wasn't much of anything left. So here's the other thing. I am the older I've gotten, the more wisdom I've gained is, you know, we talk to people about creating a money team. You know, you've got your financial advisor, you've got your insurance person, you've got your financial coach, you know, you've got your mortgage broker, that type of thing. If I had had some wisdom in my life, I would have done things differently. We were not using a financial advisor at the time. We were trying to do it ourselves. We were not having somebody look at our full, you know, the full.
Thanks again to our guests for their honesty and for sharing their financial blunders with us. Join me again next week for another episode of Lessons Learned Podcast, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. Make sure to subscribe to the Grace Financial Coaching YouTube channel, and please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.